Hello, seafoodies. You're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there, bringing you everything from the boats to the boardrooms, breaking down the news, spilling a little industry fish oil, and sharing the sharp market insights you need to know. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione. Today, we're bringing a little Valentine's Day flavor to the conversation, because when it comes to seafood, few products are as tied to romance, celebration, and indulgence as lobster, salmon, and shrimp.
But before we welcome some UCN friends on to talk about Valentine's Day, first, the big headlines of the week, like the North Pacific Fishery Management Council's vote on Wednesday that spared the billion-dollar Bering Sea pollock fishery from a hard cap on chum salmon.
Remember that salmon interests advocated for a hard cap while the groundfish industry warns that it could shut down the Alaska pollock bee season. The compromise offered by the Council and Alaska Department of Fish and Game is an overall 45,000 cap among sectors inside an in-season corridor, which would come close to fishing grounds, but not the entire fishery. Under the final action, if a sector exceeds its chum salmon bycatch limit, regulations would require each section's industry plan agreements to close off a corridor defined by four statistical areas in the Bering Sea that have higher concentrations of chum salmon.
Undercurrents Jacob Resnick reports that the rationale is that these areas have more Western Alaska salmon rather than Asian or Russian hatchery fish. If the cap is exceeded between June 10th and August 31st, then even more areas would be closed. The regulations would allow different sectors to trade allocations. But remember, this still needs to be finalized. So visit the show notes on undercurrentnews.com for reactions from both sides.
Meanwhile, U.S.-based seafood investor Jordan Mazzetta has confirmed a deal for Eastern Fish Company, acquiring the major importer from Japanese conglomerate Marubeni via his holding company, Highwood Harbor. Eastern Fish will continue to operate as a standalone business, preserving its successful model while leveraging new growth opportunities. And to lead this next chapter, Eric Bloom, an industry veteran who has served as president and chief operating officer, will be promoted to CEO/partner of Eastern Fish. All the details you need to know about the deal can be found in the show notes.
And in other merger and acquisition news, Canadian seafood group Cook has agreed with AmeriCapital Partners to acquire 100% of Avramar Seafood, the Spain-based holding company for one of the Mediterranean's largest sea bass and sea bream farmers. The purchase of the Spanish-based holding company from U.S. fund Amera should effectively give Cook control over the group's Spanish assets, including hatcheries, farming centers, and processing and packaging facilities. As reported by UCN, the deal for the Spanish assets was widely seen as increasing pressure on the creditor banks, which had been evaluating competing proposals for Avramar Greece from both Cook and Aqua Bridge Group based in the United Arab Emirates.
But then, just a few days later, Greek banks decided to transfer the company to Aqua Bridge Group in a deal valued at approximately 230 million euros. The banks agreed not only to sell Avramar's Greek loans to Aqua Bridge, but also to transfer the shares previously held by AmeriCapital and pledged by creditors, effectively handing control of Avramar Greece to the UAE-based investor. Check out Undercurrent for all the details on the deal, but ultimately, it left Cook out of the Greek transaction.
Thanks, Lauren. All right, let's get down to seafood's day to shine, Valentine's Day. This week, Lauren and I invited our good pals, UCN price reporters Gary Morrison and Ben Fisher, onto the pod to talk about some center-of-the-plate favorites, lobster, shrimp, and salmon, your go-to menu night options for the most romantic night of the year.
But of course, behind the romantic appeal is a fast-moving marketplace driven by supply dynamics, pricing shifts, consumer demand, and global trade forces.
So pour a glass of wine, get that platter of shrimp cocktail from your fridge, and let's get this conversation flowing. So Valentine's Day spending is projected to hit record levels, about $29.1 billion in the U.S., according to the National Retail Federation. And consumers are not just splurging on candy, flowers, and jewelry, but also seafood. Ben, Gary, with everything going on in the market at the moment, is lobster still the ultimate way to show someone you love them this Valentine's Day?
Yes, it is, if you're willing to pay for it, though. While some might find it a bit too expensive, there is still a group of consumers that want their premium shellfish, men and Lauren. So the wealthy continue to drive the economy, as we've seen economists broadly characterize what we're in right now as a K-shaped recovery, where 50% of the consumer spending is coming from 10% of the households. So I think, you know, for them, they're going to still look for lobster as their main Valentine's Day item. For those people, though, tightened supply market due to the harsh winter weather, which I'm sure Ben is going to dive deeper into in a little bit, and the lack of processing has led to inventory to be pared down pretty significantly and price levels moving higher. This has combined with the solid Valentine's Day demand. So we are seeing prices across the board firm over the last few weeks. The most sought after size, the 5 to 6 ounce tail, is extremely tight, and it has surged higher again this week after some, you know, consecutive weeks of moving higher as well. These are valued both not only at retail but food service. So you have both segments trying to fight for a size that, you know, consumers typically want. In addition, we have larger tails, the 10 to 12 ounce and larger, which are a premium center of the plate item for high-end restaurants, has also been firming to meet those demands of the high-end consumer that we talked about here. Where there might be some margin help, though, if people are looking at lobster tails in terms of retail and food service operators, is warm water tails. So those that can are switching, especially on the larger sizes where the value proposition in the market right now gives them a little bit more value than the cold water tails.
Thanks, Gary. Now, Ben, on the live side, what's going on?
Amanda, my takeaway is that if you are buying live lobster for your Valentine this year, you better really love them, like a lot. Because while live lobster is rarely a bargain, this Valentine's Day prices are sky high. I don't think it's particularly romantic to buy your Valentine a cull, that is a lobster with only one claw. But that's going to be your cheapest option at just over 10 bucks a pound wholesale, according to Undercurrent's latest assessment. Everything else on the hard shell side of the market, which is what you're likely going to be seeing if you live outside the New England area, is well into the double-digit dollar per pound range, with some larger sizes pushing 20 bucks a pound. So what's the reason for these high prices? Well, remember the little winter storm that covered much of the country a few weeks ago?
Do I remember? We're still living it. Are you kidding me?
still digging out from under it? You will be shocked to find out that that was not great for lobster fishing. This is the time of year when weather plays a bigger role in fishing than anyone would really like. And supply has been extremely limited because the boats couldn't get out. Now fishing has resumed, but it's the time of year when catch rates just aren't really that high. Adding fuel to the demand fire is the fact that the Lunar New Year begins in just a couple of days after Valentine's on February 17th. And lobster, particularly large size lobster, is a popular menu item for such festive occasions in China. And so that's creating some competition for lobster. So in short, your Valentine had better be the one if you are buying them lobster this year.
So I like to look at like my friend's social media accounts after Valentine's Day and see like who got like the biggest flowers. But now I'm going to be looking to see like who had lobster for dinner on Valentine's
Day.
Well,
who got the big lobster also? Who got the 2 pounder?
Is that only one claw I see?
Is that the insight to a happy relationship, social media, Amanda?
I'm just curious. I'm a nosy person. So, I mean, usually lobster is the go-to, you know, you see all the surf and turf, but we saw last year that shrimp has kind of been coming up as a great alternative to lobster for people who still want that surf and turf option.
Yeah, I mean, Ben nailed it, right? If you want lobster, you must really love the person given the price point. And what we've seen, you've just said it, is there are a lot of ads putting shrimp next to steaks, which are certainly popular for Americans, right? Or even as a standalone center of the plate feature. I think one of the things that are causing shrimp, Amanda, at least this year, from what I've been hearing, is because Valentine's Day falls on a Saturday, the retailers are trying to capture the attention of those that really don't want to go out to fight the crowds to get reservations, maybe want a more intimate occasion at home, or just plain want value, right? Given the price point. So if you remember, I know we talked about it a lot, how popular shrimp was during COVID. Everyone was cooking at home and shrimp really came into focus. Even myself, I looked at my daughter's TikTok account for some recipes and it became really popular. So I think they're trying to capture that again. But from a price and value perspective, you know, shrimp compared to lobster is a no-brainer. It gives people a little bit more of that value. We talked about the 5 to 6 ounce lobster not too long ago as the common plate size. And that's averaged $21.75 per pound at the wholesale level this week. But if you looked at a cooked peel and deveined tail on shrimp, which are in a lot of these ads that we're seeing, that averaged $8.05 per pound. So if you really think about it, you compare shrimp with another protein, specifically steak, and it really is a value given the price differential there. I mean, we're talking roughly $14.55 per pound difference, and you could feed a lot more people on a pound of shrimp than you can on a single lobster tail.
All right, Lauren, let's have salmon enter the conversation. What does it mean if you have salmon on your plate this Valentine's Day?
So unlike lobster, salmon works across multiple price tiers depending on origin. So you have to ask what the origin is if you want to be a little bit nosy there. So that makes salmon, you know, a more adaptable protein for Valentine's Day. You can absolutely treat yourself with premium fillets, but it also gives more value conscious shoppers a way to trade down from lobster or other higher priced proteins without giving up that special occasion feel. So right now we are seeing farm salmon fillets start to firm up after a softer January. That's less about shortages and more about global demand rebalancing. So out of Chile, we have export pull that's been a big support point with U.S. buyers beginning to position for Lent, Brazil's picking up ahead of the Carnival holiday, and China buying more aggressively into the Lunar New Year. So all of that is helping clear any oversupply that we were dealing with earlier in the year. And Norway is showing a similar story. Pricing here is tracking higher at origin, and a meaningful supply share continues to flow into Asia. So that global pull is limiting any real pressure for prices to soften into the US. The industry is also watching closely for potential production slowdowns, but we will see that come into fruition potentially in the next few weeks. So while salmon doesn't command lobster's headline-grabbing premiums, it's quietly benefiting from seasonal demand, export strength, and tighter global balance. It's that combination that's helping salmon find its footing heading into Valentine's Day and the early Lent window.
Wow, so there is a lot of pressure on the plates this year.
There sure is. And we will be analyzing every single one of them.
Can't wait to see what you guys eat. Usually my husband and I, we do scallops, but we lost our go-to scallop place. So I just have some like breaded shrimp in my freezer that we didn't use for the Super Bowl. So I was going to just, you know, whip that out.
Well, yeah. If you did have scallops on your menu, that would be another one that shows your husband really loves you.
No, I mean, I got a buddy surprise 40th. I don't know if his fiance realized it was Valentine's Day or not. So we're doing a brewery tour of the Jersey Shore. So whatever food's put in front of the group, I'm sure is going to be welcomed.
You got to be carrying some fish jerky on you to keep it going during your bar crawl. Ben, how about you?
I got some Argentine reds in the freezer, which is like a nice flavor combination of lobster and shrimp. So I'm somewhere in between those price points, I guess.
I don't have any plans.
All right. Thanks, guys. For more on market insights, visit undercurrentnews.com. Now we've got a couple more things to talk about this week. And briefly sticking with Valentine's Day, can you believe that McDonald's caviar drop broke the internet this week?
I can. I mean, I didn't want it to, but that was nuts. I had the page ready to go for a couple of minutes before the launch, and then bam, it all crashed. But that's great news for caviar.
Exactly. I for sure think we're going to see an uptick in caviar moving forward. And McDonald's, if you're listening and still have a tin somewhere, we're interested. And speaking of other things I'm interested in, U.S. seafood brand Safe Catch is entering the frozen foods category for the first time. The Sausalito, California-based company announced this week that it is launching a line of fish nuggets at membership-based retailer Sam's Club. So Safe Catch's fish nuggets are made with Marine Stewardship Council certified Alaska pollock. The nuggets are tested to meet the company's internal mercury threshold of 0.1 parts per million, a limit significantly stricter than U.S. regulatory standards, as the FDA considers a product adulterated at 1.0 parts per million. The rollout marks a strategic shift for the company, which built its reputation in the shelf-stable category by emphasizing rigorous mercury testing and clean label sourcing for its seafood. And by moving into frozen, Safe Catch said it is looking to meet people where they already shop, without cutting corners on ingredients, quality, testing, or trust.
Well, I, for one, am in the frozen aisle, so they will definitely be meeting me there. But that wasn't the only frozen retail news this week. Major U.S. scallop processor Northern Wind also announced that it's launching a retail-focused frozen seafood line called Bon Cuisine Seafood Proteins. The line features an assortment of shrimp and wild-caught scallop meals and is set to debut at Seafood Expo North America in Boston next month. The company said that the products cater to not only the growing consumer demand for high protein, but also to restaurant-quality meals that take just 10 minutes from freezer to plate.
Protein! Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorite things about the Boston Seafood Show, getting to see and try some of the new retail products out there.
Yeah, so like the ingenuity, I love to see it. Mm-hmm. So you can guarantee to spot us at Northern Wind Booth at some point during Cena trying some samples.
Is 2026 the year that we revive eating food on camera?
It might be.
Well, that's it for us this week. If you're going to be sampling food at Boston, let us know. We got to start planning. We got to start marking up our calendar. It's filling up.
Yeah, making out our map.
But next week, tune in because we welcome EMEA Deputy Editor Dan Gibson to the pod to talk about Indonesia's Shrimp Outlook 2026 event. So subscribe now so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.